so much.
I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Seabrook Technical Advisory Committee. And the first item on the agenda is roll call.
Blythe?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella?
Here.
Desert Hot Springs? Indian Wells?
Here.
Indio?
Here.
La Quinta?
Here.
Palm Desert? Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage?
Here.
Riverside County?
Here.
Agua Caliente? We have a quorum.
Okay. Public comments, is there any? This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak on items that are not on the agenda but fall under the purview of CBAG. Are there any comments from the public? I have AJ.
I'm gonna ask these be handed out. I've been preparing a report that's been in your agendas, but it didn't work this month. And there were a couple things that I wanted to make sure I highlighted for you. First of all, if you haven't heard, the ICMA appointed a new executive director. It was Mark Ott, who was the city manager in Austin, Texas. And he will assume his responsibilities toward the end of October. Hopefully some of you are attending the meeting in Kansas City, the annual meeting. And on this, I just have a reminder that there's two events that we'd love to have you attend. One is the California Managers Reception, which is on Monday night. And then on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, or thereabout, is the West Coast Regional Meeting. And those meetings are getting larger and larger, and the West Coast region tells us Hawaii and Washington and Oregon and Alaska. So hopefully I will see you at some of those meetings, at least see you at the reception. The second page of the report, I wanted to report back to you from the city manager department of the league, which met at the end of July. And you will recall there was the survival skills study that was conducted by Cal ICMA, and each of the organizations was asked to focus some effort in one of the areas to try to give better support for managers. And the area that the city manager's department has selected include two basic tasks. I think we're going to try to coordinate this through the joint meetings that are now occurring in Riverside between members of CVAG and Western Riverside Council of Governments. But in any case, the two efforts are, number one, to welcome all new managers. I think you folks out here have done a pretty good job of that, but we have discovered, interestingly enough, that there's a growing number of new managers that are coming from outside of California. Years and years ago, go back to 1980 when I first came to California, I think I was the only manager in the whole state that came from outside California. That's changing significantly, and obviously there's different rhythms that we have here that could be helpful to people. Because the other thing I do remember about coming here is I went to the city manager's department, my wife and I stood in the reception for an hour and a half, nobody said hello, so we went out to dinner. So there's ways in which not thinking to say welcome to people leaves a lifelong memory, not particularly pleasant in that regard. The second one is to try to set up a mentor program. I know that some of you probably have been engaged in some of the things that Cal ICMA's coaching program has done relative to mentoring, and you may already be engaged in that. But this effort is to try to say, within a area group, within Riverside County, there may be real utility in establishing a mentor-mentee relationship, particularly between some of us old guys, more experienced, and some younger, but that doesn't mean there always isn't value in sharing information in a confidential way. It's kind of an extension of my role as a senior advisor. So I'll be getting back to you and asking any of you if you're interested in that, probably by email, and then we'll try to put together the program in a reasonable way. So thank you very much. Unless you have any questions, I'm not.
Okay. Are there any questions? All right, thank you. Next item is technical advisory committee comments. Any comments from any of the members of the committee? Seeing none, we'll move on to...
I do have a couple of quick announcements.
That's you. That's next. Executive director. I almost got it out.
You were paying more attention than I was. My apologies, Mr. Chair. One, I think most of you know the multiple species plan amendment was approved by the state of California, so now the city of Desert Hot Springs is a part of the rest of the Coachella Valley in our multiple species plan. You probably have received correspondence from me, prepared by Jim Sullivan of our staff, that indicate that the rest of you's fees for the multiple species fee will go down by 8% immediately. If you haven't already done so, you can have your staff make sure that occurs. And Desert Hot Springs will officially be implementing the program, although they've been unofficially been doing so for quite some time now. At the CVCC meeting, Conservation Commission meeting last week, we did hold a little celebration because frankly it was a very big deal and a long time coming after years and years of work on both the amendment, right, Katie, as well as years and years of work on the original approval process. Secondly, in the spirit of welcoming, we'll do a couple of welcomes here. One is on my staff, somebody who you all know, and that's Martin Magana. Martin, of course, used to sit with you as one of your colleagues at the TAC meeting. Martin has been hired as our new Department of Transportation Director. He started a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
A week ago.
But been in the office now for a couple of weeks. Thanks for being here, Martin. And I know on behalf of the entire CVEC staff, we're excited to have him on board. I know he's going to do great things working with all of you on moving forward our transportation program. So welcome, Martin.
Thank you.
And then I guess lastly on, again, AJ's suggestion that we do the proper job of welcoming, we do have a new city manager. We'll have another new one from Palm Desert very shortly here sitting with you. But that's Peter Cosentini, or is it Cosentini?
Longo, Cosentini.
Cosentini, thank you, Peter, who of course is representing the City of Blythe as our new city manager. And I gather you did a little work at San Jacinto a ways back. This is a good opportunity to welcome Peter and maybe have him say a few words.
Of course. Peter, welcome. I was in your fair city at the McDonald's just a couple of weeks ago.
I hope they treated you well. Well, I've been in the business for 27 years. This is my sixth city on a permanent basis. Assistant city manager of two, and I've done two on an interim basis. It's a pleasure to be here.
Welcome. Thank you. Welcome. Anything else?
That's it.
Tom? Okay. That brings us to the consent calendar. The consent items are intended to be acted on with one motion, unless anybody has a desire for that to be handled differently. I don't have any comments from the public on consent items. Is there anyone wishing to speak on the consent agenda? Are there any items any of the committee members wish to hear separately? Okay.
I just want to note, I just want to abstain from approving this. I wasn't here. I'm representing David Ready today.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Otherwise, I'm ready for a motion on the consent agenda.
Note, Rancho Mirage will abstain too.
Yeah, from items 6A and 6C.
6A and C?
Yes.
Okay, abstain. Any other technicalities here? Otherwise, then I would seek a motion to that effect.
Move to approve.
All right.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Quinta, second from Indio. Any comments? All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, very good. And I believe then the next item is election of a new chair. I've been privileged to have that for the last year. I don't think I had to do much, so the staff really takes care of everything for you. So who's going to give the report on this?
I'll do a quick one. I do want to acknowledge for the audio record, the City of Palm Desert's even more interim city manager. I did step in a minute ago, Justin McCarthy. And with respect to the chair and vice chair, particularly for those that may not know how this agenda works, the TAC chair and vice chair customarily, except, I don't know, without exception, follow the representatives that are the chair and vice chair of the executive committee, and that this year is Indian Wells is the chair of CVAG, and the county is represented as the vice chair in the 5th district, Marion Ashley. So it's Dana Reed and Marion Ashley. Nominations are now open for chair and vice chair. of your technical advisory committee. I might suggest Indian Wells and the county.
Is there a nomination to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Motion from Reg Maraj, who seconded?
Tom Davis.
Tom Davis, Caliente. Any other discussion on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, wait. Can we just do it like that? Or do you want to change seats?
No, that's beautiful. Okay, so the next item is appointment of the city manager as representative to the county emergency medical care committee.
Good morning. The EMCC is a 15-member committee which advises the Board of Supervisors on emergency care in the county. Previously, Randy Binder, City of Rancho Mirage, served since 2013. His term expired on June 30th, 2006. Oh, he served from 2013 to 2016. And there are meetings held four times a year at the Riverside County Regional Medical Center in Moreno Valley from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And this next meeting will be October 5th, 2016, and the term will be from July 1st, 2016, so the back date, to June 30th of 2019. So the recommendation is to appoint a city manager to serve as a CVAG representative on the Riverside County EMCC. Thank you.
Is there anyone interested in that post? Well, everybody jumped once. Randy might get reelected.
Andy's not here.
I like this. Did you want to make that a seat?
So moved. I'd reappoint Mr. Binder because of his service. I'll second that. I can't think of anyone who could do a better job.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's a real live
I'll be happy to report that back.
Please do.
Okay, this is the reimbursement agreement between CBAG and the County of Riverside for the North County North Indian Canyon Drive Lightning Project. Does anybody need a staff report? Peter, you're not familiar with this. You want to hear the staff report?
Please, sir.
That'd be great.
Good morning. This first project is North Indian Canyon. It was put together in 2012 by Desert Hot Springs that was looking for some grant funding that never came through. So now here we are 4 years later. Riverside County has graciously volunteered to be the lead agency to get this very important project moving forward. It is ranked 19th in our TPPS. There will be the lead agency, however, there will be several phases of the project. The first phase, which should start still this calendar year or very closely, with some paving from the city of Palm Springs. There's a little bit of uncertainty in the estimate because they're still working out the details, but what we're asking for is our regional share at 75%, not to exceed $3 million. We will have to put together the sub-agreements between the city of Desert Hot Springs, the city of Palm Springs, and the county of Riverside to determine the local share. But the not to exceed for the region will be $3 million. And as you can see, it's in all three jurisdictions. Any questions?
No questions. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Item D, the reimbursement agreement for the city of Indio. I think we have a similar reimbursement agreement as item E. Bring those together.
Sure. We started back in 2007. We had a interchange preparation fund that we set up to jumpstart some of the project study reports for these interchanges, which was at 100% regional funding. This was one of the interchanges at Jackson. Monroe is the other one, which is adjacent to it. That was at $1.5 million, not to exceed. The first part of that, the PSR, is completed, or it's been submitted to Caltrans, and now they're looking to complete that document, or that phase of preliminary engineering with the PA and environmental document. They have an estimate of $2.4 million. Our regional share at 75% would be $1.8 million, so that's what we're asking to add to this project. Of note is that Jackson is our third-ranked project in the entire TPPS, and Monroe is the first-ranked project in our TPPS, so very critical and important projects for the region.
And on all of these items on on the action agenda for transportation, your transportation committee approved them unanimously, if I remember correctly, right, Eric?
Yes. That one's Jackson, and then Monroe.
Any questions? Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Here, I assume the motion is for both items, Brian?
Yes, indeed.
I do it.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, so we're on to Katie. Is that right?
No, I'm sorry.
Vistachino Ridge.
This is a project in Palm Springs. At 2,300 feet, this will be the longest bridge in the valley over the Wash. At the time, it was in 2011 when it was initially programmed for preliminary engineering. This was the 41st ranked project in the TPPS. However, the city of Palm Springs was able to obtain HBP, that's Highway Bridge Program funding, that covered almost 89% of the project's costs. They have subsequently obtained that same federal funding through construction for this project and are now asking for CVIC to contribute 75% of the unfunded portion, which is approximately $8.2 million, which will get us a $95 million project for about $8.2 million, which is a pretty good deal. That's the news.
Any questions?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, that's a big bridge. Yeah.
Long overdue.
Okay, so we're on property assessed clean energy, the PACE program.
Chairman, Desert Hot Springs is now being represented.
Thank you. Welcome, Chair.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for entering this.
And we point that out because we're rude around here, and we also do it for the audio record, in that order.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. The staff report before you asks for your recommendation to the executive committee to continue allowing new PACE providers, once vetted by CVAG, to enter into agreements with CVAG to implement their programs on a regional scale, and to approve the agreements between CVAG and Energy Efficiency Equity Inc., Blue Flame Energy Finance LLC, and Structured Finance Associates LLC as providers in CVAG's regional PACE program, and to authorize the executive director and or CVAG legal counsel to make minor changes or revisions to the agreement as needed for clarification purposes. The agreement with Energy Efficiency Equity Inc. was brought to this committee on June 12th, and the recommendation was approved. However, at the executive committee meeting on June 27th, the committee asked to postpone the recommendation until more information was provided about the many different PACE programs. The attached PACE matrix and PACE white paper addressed the concerns raised at the executive committee meeting. Staff is now bringing the recommendation for approval back through the committees for the agreement with Energy Efficiency Equity, as well as two new agreements with commercial PACE programs, Blue Flame Energy Finance and Structured Finance Associates, LLC. All three of these PACE providers operate under the California Municipal Finance Authority's Open PACE platform, and the California Municipal Finance Authority and its PACE providers have agreed to adopt the consumer protection policies which CVAG adopted in January. And I will answer any questions that you have about the recommendations before you.
So, back when it came to the executive committee, and I can't remember, I confess, I can't remember the exact details about why it was delayed at that time, but I know there was some concern, and I think it had to do with these consumer protection policies, and was that adequate to, you know, make sure that homeowners knew what they were getting into and things like that. So are you satisfied now that these programs that are coming forward have implemented the spirit of that request.
Yes. Within the consumer protection policies, the loan-to-value ratios, that they're all accepted. And with the matrix that's before you, it shows the different levels, the different values that each company has, but we as CVAG require them to adopt the policies that we've already adopted in June, which would make them consistent. And so the loan-to-value ratios are consistent with our case providers, and we're comfortable with that.
Mr. Chair, if I can comment, I think it was the county that asked that question, and Ben actually referred me to, I can't remember, one of the companies I called and talked to about it. I think it might have been Structure, the one that's down San Diego.
The San Diego one is the Renovate America? Or is it?
No, I'm sorry.
Another one.
Regardless, anyways, they had a good discussion. Their safeguards for debt ratio is actually better than the previous, the entity, well, I think Renovate America. They have a more stringent requirement than they do in their debt ratio, following some federal regulations. So actually got even better. So very impressive. God, what, it must have been Structured Finance company, I'm thinking.
Structured Finance, well, they're one of the new ones that we brought forward. E3 is the one we brought forward last time.
Maybe it was
Energy Efficiency Equity, and they're under the CMFA.
That might have been the one I talked to. Anyways, very good.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Any questions on the information, or did you want to add?
You know, I apologize. I did typically list Erin Sassy on legislative. I don't know if she has a report for all of you or not.
Okay. Well, come on, Erin.
I didn't realize that we've got that far in the agenda. It's been moving so fast. Thank you for having me here today. It's been a while since I've seen a lot of you, so it's nice to see all of your pretty faces today. Anyway, just a couple agenda updates before I talk about legislation. October 5th through 7th is our annual conference. I know many of you already registered. If you have not registered, or if your electeds have not registered, it's closed at this time. You can register on site. We have our breakfast on Friday, October 7th at 7:30 in the morning. We'll do our elections for our executive committee there. And then also, I know I typically do a lunch with those of you that attend. I'm looking at doing that on Thursday of the conference. So if you're wanting to come out to lunch, I'll get you some more details, but hopefully you'll all be out there. And then October 10th is our golf tournament. This will be our fifth one that we're having. It's at Tequit in Beaumont. I do have some flyers. Just really need help getting those of you that golf out, or any of your electeds or staff. It's usually a pretty good day. It is our fundraiser for our PAC, for ballot measure advocacy. So definitely need some support with that. I'll give you all a flyer before you leave today, but it's a fun day. Anyways, the legislature convened on October 31st. The governor has until September 30th to sign and veto bills. I'm not sure if any of you participated in our webinar last week, but there are some bills that we are hoping to get signed and vetoed. I just want to highlight a couple. AB 2220, I know this one doesn't necessarily apply to any of you, but this would allow cities with 100,000 or more to switch to district-based elections by ordinance, rather than you don't have to go take it to the ballot. Last year there was a bill that allowed cities with 100,000 or less to go to districts by ordinance, and we've actually had a lot of cities utilizing that, so this just levels the playing field for all cities. Definitely would like some support with that one. There's another bill, AB 350, that has to do with CVRA as well, the California Voting Rights Act. Basically, we are requesting a signature. This bill would allow cities to have 135 days to switch to these district elections by ordinance. So when you get that letter, this would allow you to have 135 days. You wouldn't have to do it quite as quickly as you're currently having to do. So helps with your costs. Yes.
And I had a question on that one. We were listening to the webinar the other day. Is that 135 days for the council to adopt the ordinance that would switch to the district-based system, or do you have to have the districting all done in that 135 days?
You would actually have to still go to it and be in process, but it just gets them off your back a little faster. Right now, basically, you get that letter and they start to move forward, they sue you, they don't really give you any time. I know Eastvale was in a really tight pinch most recently because they had to have everything done, you know, in an incredibly fast timeline. So this 135 days still isn't very long, but it's better than what we have now. A couple other bills I wanted to highlight. One is AB 779. This is one we were requesting a veto on. Basically, right now, you would, with this legislation, you have to do duplicative compensation reports. And you have to post them on your website. So right now, you already have to give salary, overtime, unused vacation, pension, automobile, phone allowances. So rather than just submit that information, you're now also going to have to post that information. So definitely want to encourage you to veto that one. Another one is AB 2406. It has to do with junior accessory dwelling units. We are requesting a signature for this. This would allow your cities to create ordinances over these junior accessory dwelling units within a single family residential zone. So right now, these units that are no more than 500 square feet in size and are contained entirely within a single family residence, you can have separate sanitation facilities, share the facilities within the existing structure. This allows you to have, like I said, the ability to pass ordinances for these units. A couple other bills, there is one. AB 2492, this is cleaning up some of the legislation from last year that Eduardo Garcia carried, AB 2. Really just something that we want to help you as the community revitalization and investment authorities. That legislation, like I said, there's just some cleanup components. So we are asking for a signature on that one. And there's a bill that I know I talk about every year, and it's for our cities on the West End, but the four new cities that incorporated in Riverside, they're trying to get the funding restored to them. It's SB 817 by Senator Roth this year. Made it out of the legislature unanimously. The governor has vetoed it every time in the past. And unfortunately, it's probably likely that he'll veto it again this year. But we would really appreciate just letters supporting that. Right now, there's also really no ability for cities to become, or areas to become cities at this point, just because of the policy ramifications. So this is just getting those cities on an equal footing as other cities. So if you could really help us out with that, I'd appreciate it. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions, but it's gonna be a little bit slower. Transportation, we had really hoped there would be some sort of deal to help with transportation funding. Unfortunately, they did not happen. They're saying they could come back and do kind of a lame duck session, but we'll see about that. Really tough year to bring everybody back, you know, with the election. So hopefully that's something that we can work on again next year, but it's a little disappointing that nothing was done, you know, this year. So thank you for having me.
Any questions? All right, see you in October.
All right, thank you.
So now, is there anything you want to tell us on the information? Any questions about the information? You want to say these announcements or let everybody read them themselves?
They can read.
Okay, good. So we're on to adjournment. Thank you. We're adjourned.